Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Do really appreciate you listening in. Just commenting to Mark, who's sitting in for Mike this morning, that there's been a lot going on in 1 week in the middle of the winter, the dead of winter. It was a really active week. We have got one active running community, and you can't begin to stereotype who the running community is, because we're all over the map. Age, ability, distance. It's really cool, and I think that's what makes it so much fun to be a fan. And at my core, I think that's what I am. I just really am a fan of the sport. And so when people are doing really special things with their running, and they're doing it in a special way, I must admit, I have a real weakness for cheering for those who are modest and humble and appreciative of what they're getting from their body and their talents and their hard work. This is, for me, it's a real joy. We had the U.S. Olympic trials in the marathon over the weekend, kind of historic in that the first time ever the men's and women's races were in the same course, same day, and this time it was down in Houston. That was on Saturday, and we had several folks with local ties do quite well. Of course, Louise Knudsen, our top area marathoner, lives here. She's a nurse over at UVA. She was 2:48 in her first marathon trials experience. She was quite pleased. It wasn't quite the time she wanted, but she nevertheless was pleased to have experienced something so special, and she'll be back in 2016, and we congratulate her. And then her teammate Melissa Rittenhouse also, right around the same time, they came in pretty close together, and both had a neat attitude about it afterwards, and we're proud of them. Emily Harrison, who's the former All-American from UVA, she now trains out in the Southwest with an elite team there. She was 30th overall. Very good, Emily, 2:35. And then another Emily Potter, an Almar High School grad with real strong local ties. Her family still lives here. really tremendous attitude. She's the U.S. Army's, we talked about her last week, U.S. Army's top female marathoner in the world. And she was 2:39.55, a nice little PR there, getting close to six-minute pace. She was 40th overall, so congrats to her. And a neat experience. And what was really doubly cool for me is that I had a whole clutch of my own athletes, that people I coach directly. Louise and Melissa, I'm the assistant coach for RMR, but with these folks, local folks, they went out the next day and ran the Houston Marathon and half marathon, the normal, the people's event, the common man's event, so to speak. And that was a neat idea on the U.S. Olympic Trials Committee. That way they got a lot more spectators out, and all of my folks were really happy to be down there cheering on, particularly Louise, who had cut her teeth with our community-based group, first with the Charlottesville Track Club training program. People forget this. She opened with the 318 Marathon 4 years ago with the CTC training program. Had the pleasure of coaching her that year, and then we moved her into the Boston Bound group, so it's kind of getting up into the graduate program, and then she quickly excelled from there into RMR. So it was neat for a lot of these folks who know Louise, and Louise has never lost touch with her roots, so to speak. Sounds cliche, but I'm always seeing her chatting it up with her buddies from the track club group and the Boston group. Hernan Garbini was our top finisher in the half marathon, 50 years old. He ran 1:19, that's 6:05 pace. Come on, 50 years old, what is that stuff? That's amazing. Our top female is Amy Martin, and she's just as amazing. 1:25, 6:31 pace, 37-year-old mother of four. Amy, I don't know how you do it, but that's pretty doggone good stuff. Sarah Hickey, nice little PR, 1:27, that's a 7:05. And then Andrew Zapanta is third fastest half marathon. I think he told me he's done 27 or 29 half marathons, his third fastest ever, 7:35 pace. Good for you. Harry Landers, just about ready to click the 60-year-old clock there. Ran 3:33, a nice little effort, 8:05 per mile. And then Megan Bowen, she's a UVA grad student. We just joined our training group about a year ago, 3:11. Nice effort, but fell short of what she wanted. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit here, what happened with her and what a lot of the other people experienced on this course on Sunday. was that they had a lot of issues with the surface. And what was the surface? Concrete. And concrete is the death of you. I rarely can see a good thing about concrete when it comes to running long distances. I mean, it's stable. You don't risk tripping and falling like you would maybe on an uneven surface, but that's about where the pros and the con to it is that it just beats your legs and knees to pulp. In Megan's case, at about really pretty much halfway point, her cardio system engine was just chugging along. She was feeling great, really not a peep going on there, but her legs began to get really fatigued, her quads, and all of a sudden she said she felt like somebody had hit her quads with, you know, baseball bats. Basically, they had just been pulverized. She's a four-foot runner, meaning she runs up on the balls of her feet, and that's the death of you. If you've got that type of mechanics going on, you want to steer clear of anything that's that hard surface. Little did we know, who would know, that they run a marathon on concrete, not blacktop. I guess in Houston, that's the choice of road surface. Much to my dismay to find this out later, Harry had bad blisters, and Amy experienced the worst blister of her life at 7 miles into the half marathon. It blew up like a half-dollar coin in her forefoot, and she said it felt like every time she stepped down, she had a sharp knife in her forefoot. So, you know, not making excuses, but yes, making some legitimate reason why folks are somewhat handicapped by this. In Megan's case, it cost her quite a bit of time because it was she just could not put her legs on the ground without reeling in pain. So, you know, concrete, you're on the sidewalks in Charlottesville for little bits here and there, fine, great. But really, folks, you want to be on blacktop as much as possible. It's about 20 times, not 20% more absorbent. So if I'm running on a concrete sidewalk and I've got a partner, training partner in there in the street, they're at risk of getting hit by a car more than I am, but they're getting 20 times more shock absorbency than I am. That's pretty impressive stuff. Also last weekend, kind of still in the long distance gang, three of our locals who love doing trail events did a little mini ultra 35K. For those guys, that's a mini distance down outside Richmond, and we just mopped up. Sarah Bravord, who's on our RMR post-collegiate team, just took a little break from the roads and went off into the woods and just mopped up. She finished first, and Sophie Spidell, the queen of the woods, so to speak, and definitely one of the best masters in the region. And when I say region, I mean mid-Atlantic. Sophie was second overall, and then Mark Hampton works over at the Curry School and is in our Boston group. Had a nice little effort out there, too. Relaxed day out there in that 35K. Congrats to them. While we're still on last weekend, but pretty much at the other end of the spectrum, we had the Fred Hardy Invitational down at FUMA. Winston Brown and his gang do such a wonderful job down there. Winston's such a special coach in that he gives at so many different levels. I can't even begin to tell you the number of ways this man gives back to the sport, and all the way down to the fact that he houses kids all the time. He and his wife have fostered and cared for so many young athletes over the years. Right now, they're fostering two Sudanese brothers, the Lamont brothers, Alex and Peter. And a good meet. The FUMA boys came out on top, and the Fluvanna girls were on top on the other side, on the other end. And really good stuff from that Fluvanna girls squad. Continue to have this magical year. Denver Wright from FUMA, second in the hurdles, second in the 50-yard, 5-yard dash. Katie Farina from Western, good to see you coming back. Katie, second in the 1600. And then on the boys' 1600, we had a nice little race. Avery Martin out-edged Adam from FUMA, out-edged Adam Visicay, 425-426 in the mile. Nice little indoor time. Adam Schiller, sweet little PR there. Nice little breakthrough race, 432, the Western star. Malloy Owen, nice little effort from a 10th grader from Charlottesville High School, 454. Good for you, Malloy. Michael Idziak was really probably one of the most impressive times of the day, 234 in the 1,000. That'll win you a state meet most of the time. Pretty impressive stuff on him. Javanique Burris, first as usual in the long jump and first as usual in 55 hurdles. That girl can score some points. Louise is sure lucky to have her. We're going to talk about Louisa a little bit more in a second because something special happened in their neck of the woods over the weekend also. And Hannah Rose, Wilson's fabulous, fabulous distance runner, school record holder, and state champion. She ran 11:21. Ooh, that's a fast time for 3,200 with 20 laps. You guys count them, 20 laps indoors on that 160-meter track. Wow, that's an impressive time. Good for you, Hannah. And she's got such great mentoring over there with her coaches do such a good job at Wilson. So on the Louisa side of things, as I said, I mentioned Jerry Cutright, the legendary coach, in his 30th year. He's coached for over 30 years. He was recognized last week as the 2011 U.S. High School Track and Field Coach of the Year. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal for him. It's a big deal for his school. It's a big deal for Louisa, period. And it really is particularly a big deal for his fans and all of the athletes he's touched over the years. And, boy, he has touched a bunch of them. He has done a magnificent job, has state cross-country titles, team titles, state indoor meet titles, team titles, and same thing outdoors. He's had the triple crown of state championships over the years. And he's a good off-the-track guy, too, mentoring kids and just being a good all-around father and coach to so many young folks. We have the pleasure of one of his children, work for us at the store, and just as nice and good kid. You can see the trickle effect of his father's influence on him and how enthusiastic and kind and really thoughtful he is to all around him. And Jerry, richly deserved. Way to go. You make us proud. You put us on the map. Central Virginia has the top. They only gave out one for the male U.S. High School Track and Field Coach of the Year. So congrats to him. Glenn Anderson continues his crazy ways. And I say crazy. He's a marathon maniac. He's heading for his 50th state to run a marathon. He did number 48 over the weekend in Georgia. He ran 3:51, which is no slacking time for a guy who's running these one a month or two a month. He only has two to go. I can't remember what 49 will be, but I do know 50 will be in Delaware, will be the state of Delaware in May. And we wish Glenn all the best at just staying injury-free. He seems to know what he's doing. I've tried giving him advice over the years on how to keep his body together through all this madness. I think he's listened to some of it. The rest he's figured out on his own. We're really impressed, Glenn. And this was his 40th sub-4 hour. So he's got this hankering now to go back and finish out the states to do all 50 under 4 hours. So he's got 48 states he's run, but only 40, according to him, and he uses the word only, that he's broken 4 hours. So he's got his work cut out to get back and get those in. I'm sure he will. Let's see. Still kind of all over the map here. We've got the new coaches. I've gotten to meet all three now at the University of Virginia. And, oh, my gosh, are we in for some really good times with these fellas. Brian Fetzer, the head coach, really enjoyed. Had a sit down with him the other day, kind of impromptu. He came in to say hi to our family at the store, and just had everyone in awe of his vision and his. It sounds like a true commitment to community partnership and to building his team like a family, listening to each individual and their own personal goals, being respectful of that, but at the same time remembering that it's a track and field team that he's overseeing and that everybody is equal on the squad. And I like this whole attitude of him saying, you know, when a shot putter's coming off the track one day after practice, they can walk by a distance runner and say, hi, so-and-so, on a first-name basis and share some thoughts together. That's what a track and field team should be like. So we're really excited about Brian coming to us just from Harvard and hitting the ground hard. He's wanting to engage the community as much as possible, and he's talk to me about keeping the track open, which I am so excited. Talking about some morning hours, which I think is fantastic. We're really grateful to him and the university for this notion of keeping that track open for us to. It's a unique relationship, and we're glad to see it keep going. And he's brought in Peter Watson and Todd Morgan to round out his distance coaches. Peter comes to us from UNC, and he'll be running the show for the guys. And Todd has come to us from Florida. He'll be running the show for the women. And both, oh my gosh, had a great time chatting with them. Energetic, really enthusiastic, and saying the right things, meaning want to keep injury rates low, want to make sure their athletes have an enriched experience and high expectations, which everybody should have high expectations. I always tell my athletes when I'm coaching, I'm never going to set you up for failure, but I'm going to push you to your where I think is the high rung of your ladder, the high bar, and that's the attitude these guys certainly share. Julie Stackhouse, who has done a great job in just one short season here with us at Virginia, will take over the middle distance coaching, and we're glad to see her staying here at Virginia and continuing on. She's really clicked with the athletes right off the bat this fall. On the track, I want to just continue to shout out to folks that it's still closed to the public. The university's begun to use it for workouts. but that is on a limited basis. We are not, as a public, we should not be up there on the track at this point, so please, folks, respect that. They're still doing some construction work around the entranceway, so if we can just hang tight. The track will ultimately be the grand unveiling, I think, will be ACC's this spring. We are hosting that meet for the first time in a long time. That's on the 19th of April through the 21st April, so we'll look to be helping Coach Fetzer and his staff with that. I said goodbye to Jane Hayward. Jane Hayward was a dear friend of our family. Her daughter Natalie and her son Jim were good friends of our family also. And Jane Hayward, who is she? Who was she? She's the owner of Foxhaven Farm, and she had opened that up, about 12, 15 years ago. She opened it up as a place for folks to do running and hiking. It's the big property at the south end of Bel Air on the south west and south end of the Birdwood Golf Course. And she's really been great to allow us to use her trails in there. We cut through some trails there, and there were some already existing. And she just said, come on in. She called me one Sunday afternoon and said, Mark, I'm interested in opening up the property. Can you come on out and take a look and see what I might be able to offer here? And I went out with Jason Dunn, who was the head coach at the time. We were like little kids out there. We couldn't believe it. And she died a few weeks ago. I think she was 95. Lived a wonderful life. She's the most amazing hiker. She was cut ahead of her time when it came to really getting outdoors and staying fit. I don't know if anybody could keep up with her hiking-wise. My father went hiking with her one time when he was in his late 50s, early 60s, and she by then was in her mid-70s, and it was mind-boggling, he said, to try and keep. He couldn't keep up. He goes, I'll never hike with her again. I was exhausted. And she was one of these cross-country hikers. She took a pair of clippers and a little mini saw with her. She hooked to her belt, and she would bushwhack literally off the beaten path and off the side of mountains and in the area. Pretty impressive. A call out to Susan Nelson. She's one of my favorites, one of my favorite athletes I coach. She's in the marathon training program. She's served as a captain several times for the track club and for the 10-mile training program, including this winter. She and her husband Steve are just mainstay, rock solid folks. They're kind of middle to back of the packers, and they do a really good job of helping those new folks and get engaged in our running program. Susan was feeling some discomfort on her run on Saturday morning. Steve was telling me she said her foot kept dragging. She started out with the 10-mile training program, got about a mile in, and collapsed. She had a brain hemorrage, and so thank goodness she was with her husband Steve and with Lois Perry, a good buddy of mine also, who's a nurse, knew what to do. And then the third bit of good luck was there was a police officer patrolling the McIntyre Park, a city officer, thank goodness, and call out, as usual, to our city police and county police, university police. They seem to be there to support us. Picked her up, took her to the emergency room. She went into intensive care. She's fine, but we wish her all the best as she's recovering. That's a real eye-opener, and Susan's such, a mainstay. We've got a kids' track clinic this Saturday morning, so that's the 21st at 8:30 at the Charlottesville High School track. It's free for kids 4 to 12. And go over some etiquette stuff, work on form, and then break into a few little races, maybe some relay races with the kids. And pretty low-key, we're hoping folks, if you know if families with kids or you have kids of your own, come join us this Saturday morning at 8:30 at CHS. We've got the Triple Crown rolling for the spring. I just met with Stacy Bruins over at the Charlottesville Day School and Lance Wisen, the two originators of the Triple Crown, and we laid out the schedule. So the races will be, we've added an event this year, the Charlottesville 10-miler for Children, Youth, and Family Services. They'll have a kids race in conjunction with the 10-miler. And then, of course, we've got the Run for Autism, and then we've got that's on April 21st. Then on the 29th, a Sunday out at Panorama, we've got the Charlottesville Day School Family Fitness Runs on Grass. And then the latter part of May will, of course, top it all off with the Discovery Dash, the granddaddy of them all. And that's the foursome this year. So if you run three of them, you'll be honored at a special ceremony with the coveted Triple Crown medal. And just stay tuned for details on that. A call out to my buddy Jim Ryan. He's a law professor over at the university and a 255 marathoner. The pleasure and honor of coaching him this past year. Wonderful husband, dad, and widely considered to be one of the best professors over at the university, one of the most popular. UVA last week announced him as the 2011 Outstanding Faculty Award winner. that's richly deserved also. So it's two kind of neat things happen in our running community to folks we really care about. So congrats to Jim and his family, who definitely supports him in his professorship. One quick tip here before we get going, 10-mile training program tip, but this is to anybody who runs on a regular basis. Be careful when you're shifting gears, when you're adding days. If you've been a three-day-a-week runner and you want to add a fourth or a fifth, you got to be careful where you add it. So you got to be careful that you're not bunching your runs up too close together, particularly your quality days. A quality day would be a fast day or a long day. Be careful shifting days around. So if you have a long run to do on Saturday, you're going to be traveling, and you want to move it to Friday, and you've done a workout on Wednesday, be careful. You've moved it a little too close to that Wednesday run, your long run, that could end up in causing some trouble. So when you're messing with your program, make sure you're doing it with some thought and to keep that balance going, because you tip the scale, and that's when fatigue settles in, and then you've got trouble, because fatigue is the number one factor behind injuries with runners as it plays into your mechanics in a negative way. And then I'm going to pretty much pound this as much as I can over the next few weeks. You have to pay great reverence to your recovery days. If you're not running slow, and I say slow, I've stopped using the term easy because people say, gee, I felt easy, but they're running fast. Got to run slow in those recovery days, so they're actually serving as just that, a recovery day, so you're ready for your faster days. A lot of people say, oh, no, I'm feeling fine, and the cumulative effect of that is 4 weeks down the road, you're suddenly – you crash and burn either with an injury or a burnout. So, and then a call out to Jane Miller, one of my favorites over at the university. She's one of the ADs, assistant ADs, and I call them the little sports. She goes, we don't think of them little, but the non-revenue sports. Jane oversees many of those, the swimming and the crew and a lot of the sports that have become kind of mainstay winners at the university. Jane, former lacrosse coach, lacrosse star herself. She won her age group at the Rock and Roll Half Marathon back in the fall. I just found this out recently. Congratulations to you, Jane. You're not getting older. You're getting faster. Some pretty impressive stuff. All right. I think that's about it. Thanks, everyone, for listening in. And we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.